that's ridiculous. I think that's just crazy. Why would you do that? Celery and an anchovy? I can't do it, Steve.
Bill Curry Ford is Tampa's very first family of Ford dealerships, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for presenting all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. Get to billcurryford.com to see all the tremendous February offers, financing, discounts, and more. And schedule service, mobile service right at your property. Get a loaner vehicle if you need it. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Thank you for your support of JoeBucksFan.com. And when you have any sort of disaster at your property, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, you call them first. Florida's Elite Restoration. Get your free evaluation at your property and you'll be in great hands. They are experts when it comes to fighting corruption in the insurance industry to get you the money you deserve. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Bucks fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is in the house. The water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. That's who he is. He's Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Sage, everybody can enjoy your podcast at Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, leave a review. It's time to leave some reviews. I usually like to mention that at the end of the podcast, but we're going to dare and do that at the beginning.
We had quite a debate on our last podcast, Steve. It was very passionate.
Yeah, definitely catch up on that. And, of course, we've got plenty to talk about today. It's Jason Slice's birthday
as we
sit here today. Now, I didn't
know. Happy 30th birthday, Jason. Happy 30th birthday.
I didn't know that, but you told me, so you must be on top of that. But we were going to talk about Light anyway, obviously a key figure in the offseason, and got a couple of nuggets about Jason Light I want you to weigh in on,
Sage. I think he should celebrate today by holding a press conference and saying we're very interested in Josh Sweat. We're going to make a move for him in free agency.
He can't do that.
He can't fantastic.
He's under contract with another team.
I think that'd be fantastic.
I got to say this. You know, I've been pretty harsh about the organization's seemingly lack of interest in being aggressive and going out and getting an edge rusher. That's proven. And there's a reason why I really don't talk about the draft much. I'm confident Light's going to nail it. I'm confident.
But not at every position.
Well, I mean, no one's perfect, but he's pretty damn good. Our last podcast, Ira, you know, you kind of poo-pooed the Bucks defensive line. I was much more pro the Bucks defensive line with the exception of an edge rush. And I came across this little nugget, and it blew my mind so much that Steve had to temper my copy, even though it was published for a couple hours before you got to it, because I was too exorbitant, too exuberant.
Too exuberant.
I was that last year there was only one player in the NFL who didn't record a missed tackle.
Who's saying that?
Next Gen Stats.
Not the PFF tribe?
No. Next Gen Stats, which uses computer chips and GPS equipment to monitor every player's move. They came up with an AI software detector.
I've never heard of a group that keeps track of missed tackles by a defensive tackle. I've never heard of that.
They just came up with this with the help of Amazon, this AI tool. If a ball carrier is in the position to get tackled, with the Next Gen Stats GPS stuff, so they could tell the guy makes a tackle or not.
So they watch like 800 snaps.
Quote-unquote, yeah. They watch every play of every game of the regular season. There was only one player in the NFL last year that did not record a missed tackle. Not one missed tackle.
I'm flabbergasted.
Kalijah Kancey.
I'm flabbergasted at this.
I was so geeked to see this because I've always been a Kalijah Kancey guy. I'm a big believer in him. This made it more so. I was so geeked at 10:30 last night, I texted some Bucks people. They didn't know this. I gave them the link. Oh, here's the NFL.com Next Gen Stats.
Missed tackles for a defensive tackle?
Zero.
Steve?
Zero.
I'm stunned that anybody's keeping track of that. I mean, missed tackles, that should be a cornerback, a safety, or a freaking linebacker. I don't understand. I mean, a guy gets through the line in 3 seconds. Is that a missed tackle or it's not a missed tackle?
Well, look, obviously it's extremely difficult to gauge. Not every defensive tackle is going to be able to stick his arm out and tackle a guy. I don't know if that qualifies as a missed tackle. Some people, and this was a big issue when Gerald McCoy got his serious injury as a rookie, Raheem Morris accused him of Pop Warner tackling and sticking his arm.
The biceps.
Sticking his arm out. Next thing you know, he's blown a pec or whatever it was. So, and then later, Gerald McCoy said Greg Schiano taught him how to tackle. He actually said that. So who knows? It's an interesting stat.
Interesting.
I'm sure it's real in the scope of the framework, but I don't know how you determine missed tackle from a defensive tackle. But, you know, they don't need to explain it. It's fun to talk about.
Lee, before you even said that, all three of us are in agreement. Kalijah Kancey, when healthy, is one heck of a football player.
Now,
yes, he is.
To be fair, he only played a dozen games. Now, these are regular season stats. Now, immediately when I wrote the story and I published it at midnight, immediately people were bringing up the non-sack of Jaden Daniels. But so these are regular season stats. And people at One Buck Palace were shocked,
Sage,
when I told them that.
Speaking of no missed tackles, they don't miss them at Bill Curry Ford. New 2024 F-150 models up to $10,000 off MSRP. And they've got 3.9% APR financing available, which is actually a really good number. In these times, you got to shop now at BillCurryFord.com. They've got over 100 to choose from, so it's not like they just have two on the lot. Got to blow out last year's vehicles. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side. Our draft guru, Sean Sullivan, he's also the Bill Curry Ford general manager. We'll be hearing more from Sean coming up here on the podcast. His breakdowns, Sean Sullivan poll at JoeBucksFan.com. That would be interesting.
That
huh?
would be fun.
I think we might have to do it. But they've got more than that, Ira. They've also got lease deals, F-150 hybrid XLT models, lease for $376 a month. They've also got the used vehicles there. Don't forget that. Ford certified gold pre-owned, 5.9% APR financing.
You said it's a perfect
financing.
Time to get a 2024 vehicle right now because they're moving in the new inventory, right? So you can get a great deal on a 2024.
Well, they've already moved in. The 2025s have been there a long time, but they keep coming in. So it's common sense, Sage. Again, Ford certified gold pre-owned, 5.9% APR financing available. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, Jason Light's birthday.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this you seemed obsessed with this. Apparently, if you believe the internet, it is his birthday.
Should we mention his age, Steve, or is it a secret? Is it a state secret?
Well, it can't be a state secret. I was going to say, if you believe the internet, he's 54 years
old.
Well,
in my book, that makes him a young man.
He's
so
a young
you
man, according to the Sage. Now, Ira, here's the thing with Jason Light. So, hadn't run a Jason Light poll in a long time because we don't run them in the season. Sometimes, if it's a mid-season buy, but a late-season buy, it's kind of weird with the polls. So, no poll since before the season started. Jason Light confidence poll that popped on Monday.
Yes. Stark contrast to the Todd Bowles poll. Right?
Nobody voted no confidence. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Out of 822 votes in a short window. Nobody? Nobody doesn't like the guy to say, I got no confidence in him. That's impressive. 2% had little confidence. 11% confident. 29% very confident. Totally confident. 58%. Tampa Bay loves
this
guy.
87%, you know, very or totally confident. That's a stunning number. A stunning number.
So give me your perspective on the not just the 11 years of Jason Light, but where he fits into this landscape league-wide as far as Bucks fans go. Can this be shaken if the Bucks have a bad year? Or you think Jason Light is so beloved and so trusted that, you know, if he has a bad 2025 draft, it won't even matter?
I don't know, Lee. I don't know what the hell happened 5 or 6 years ago. Maybe they changed scouts. Maybe they changed their methodology. Lee, I don't know what the hell happened. But it's clear and unassailable that the Bucks have been one of the best drafting teams over that 5, 6 year period. Has he missed? Yeah, he's missed. Joe Tryon Soyinka, he's missed. A punter, he's missed. But on the whole, Lee, and you got to look at it on the whole, he's drafted exceedingly well, whereas his first 4 or 5 years, Lee, lots of misses. And I'm not even saying Jameis Winston, because almost every GM in Light's spot would have taken Jameis Winston or Mariota at that time. Neither one worked out. But he is hitting on a lot of draft picks right now. He is, especially mid-range draft picks. And, Lee, that's one of the reasons when we talk about making a big-time trade for significant draft capital. If the decision is totally up to Jason Light, it's not in his nature to do it, Lee. He'd rather pick up 2 extra 3rd-round picks than give up 3 picks, even if it's a Myles Garrett. So that's why I think it's a little complicated, because when you're talking about Garrett or a Micah Parsons, if they're available, then the Glazers enter the picture. Then the Glazers enter, just like they do in terms of getting a quarterback. They're right in the middle of things. And they may not look at things exactly the way that Jason Light does in terms of, is this deal in the best interest of the Tampa Bay Bucks? Light doesn't like to give up draft picks, Lee, and he hasn't done very much of it over the years.
I will defend Light on the punter. It wasn't like he was horrible. He actually established himself And I think there's more to the story than him just getting released.
But you got Roberto Aguayo. I mean, there's things.
But I'm just talking about Camarda. No one's told me anything. I'm just reading the tea leaves.
Is Camarda on a team right now?
Yeah, he got picked up as a futures contract.
Yeah.
I put everybody on the GM because bottom line, it all is part of the big picture. If you can say you can't blame an injury on the GM, but then why do they spend millions of dollars figuring out who's injury prone and who isn't? So it may feel unfair, but to me, it's all one big picture. If a guy has a mental breakdown after his second season, yeah, I put that on the GM because how much money do they put in figuring out who's the right guy?
But you're not putting Antoine Winfield's injury on Jason Light. I mean, you're not doing that.
No, you can pick one guy here and there, but big picture, I bet you some teams find draft picks. 92% of this team's picks always stay healthy, and 67% of this team's over 10 years. There's probably patterns there, just like every other stat.
Lee, along those lines, and I hate to say this because I just wrote a column saying go get Josh Sweat. Lee, if you look at Josh Sweat's history, I mean, even starting with college, he's had some injury issues. Does that give you pause at all?
Sure.
Lee?
Because I'm sitting here wanting Jamel Dean to be replaced because he can't stay healthy. I'm not willing to give Servacio Dennis a starting job because he can't stay on the field. So I'd be an awful hypocrite to just completely ignore Sweat's injury history.
And it's been a little problem with Cansey, to be fair.
Yeah, he's been hurt twice, the same injuries, same time.
Sage, so, I'm not going to let you steer me off Jason Light. Now,
Light doesn't like to give up draft picks. Am I wrong?
No, Steve? I'm talking about his popularity among fans here. The fans.
I think, Steve, I think a lot of it, recency bias, they call in different things. And look what he did last offseason, bringing the people back that Buck fans wanted to bring back.
And the Glazers.
And he did it. And there's confidence that he's going to do it again in terms of Chris Godwin. And maybe a couple other people. They got Mike Evans done. They got Levon A. David done. They worked out a deal with Baker Mayfield that is pretty complimentary towards the organization. He deserves his kudos, Lee. He deserves it.
You may have just broken news, Ira. I know you have sources in the right places. Are they going to bring Godwin back?
I think they are. Now, I saw some guy on a website today on a video that said the Commanders are going to throw a lot of money at Godwin and pair him with McLaurin. And the time is now for the Commanders. And I'm not saying it's not. Mm. But I think when you look at Godwin in total, and he's already come back from a significant injury as a Buccaneer.
And improved.
And, Lee, you've said it many times, and I think it's worth repeating. Nobody knows Godwin's condition better than the Buccaneers right
True.
Now.
Mm.
And I think general consensus is he's going to be able to overcome this dislocated ankle. Is it September 20th? Whatever it is. And Light's going to be able to get it done.
Here it goes back to respect for Light. I think it's fair to say he's got good respect around the NFL.
Yes.
And if everybody knows, well, the Bucs want Godwin back, then wouldn't other teams say, you know what, if they trust Godwin, shit, we'll trust him too. You know, we could use that guy. There are teams desperate
they don't
for
know
receivers
about the,
out
They don't
there.
Know what negotiations are going on behind the scenes between the Bucs and
Godwin. No, we have no idea.
I'm saying other teams don't know exactly how much the Bucs are willing to spend on Godwin.
Are you suggesting, Steve, and I don't think either one of you guys know this, so I'll have to explain it. Are you suggesting Light is entering Whitey Herzog territory? What I mean by that is when Herzog was at his heights with the old Cardinals back in the 80s, and he stole so many teams blind, including George Steinbrenner, that teams quit trading with him. Like, okay, he wants this player. There's a reason he wants this player. I'm keeping him. I'm not going to give him away.
I think there was almost that feeling with Belichick. I don't want to make a trade with New England because Belichick's too smart. And if he's making this player available, there's a reason. And I'm not getting involved. I think that's true. Light deserves his props right now, Steve. He deserves his props. However, I can't go along with Lee. And I think Lee's coming off the word that the Bucs don't value pass edge rushers. I think Lee's coming off that.
Oh, I don't just. They value them, but they don't value them enough in my mind.
He hasn't hit home runs or even doubles when it comes to edge rushers. He just hasn't. And he's picked several, and they haven't worked out. So I can't give him a blank check like everything this guy does turns to gold.
Well, look, the fans love him. He's got their respect. And you mentioned the comparison to the Todd Bowles poll that shows most fans don't have faith in him as a head coach. So when you've got such a disparity between the GM's doing a great job and the coach, we don't like the coach too much, it tells you that the fans feel the team is underachieved.
Yes.
And as far as valuing an edge rush, some of this maybe tells me they don't value, the fans don't value an edge rush as much as Lee does, or in general, because a lot of people might say, you know what, the guy can't get an edge rusher. We need that to win. It's been a while. It's too long. I have little confidence.
That could be part of it. Lee hit.
But they're not saying that.
Lee, this could be the other part of it, and you might lean a little bit towards this. It's not so much that Light misfired on the edge rush draft picks. The Bucs haven't developed them. And that's on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I don't give Light a pass, but I heavily lean toward the coach. I've said this before. This is not defensive end specific, edge rusher specific. I'm a huge coach's guy. That's good and bad. A good coach makes players better, or at least puts them in position to get the most out of their talents. And when it comes to edge rushers, that has not happened in a long time around here, unless they were veterans. When the Bucs brought veterans in, it seemed like the Bucs did okay with that, obviously. JPP, Shaq. But when it comes to rookies, they're terrible.
And I think part of it, Steve, and this might be an unpopular view, but it's my view. I think there's a tendency among Buck fans, and I think, Lee, this extends to NFL fans in general. They have a little bit of a tendency to overestimate the talent everywhere on the roster and say that you know, Jamel Dean's really good, and Jordan Whitehead's a stud, and KJ Britt's strong, and you know, Will Golston is a big factor, and Shaq Barrett is ready to make a huge push for the 2025. Steve, what does it say that significant a number of Buck fans are banking on Shaq Barrett? I think that's ridiculous.
Ooh.
I think that's just crazy. Why would you do that? Why would you do
I'm
that?
I'm not sure they're banking on him, but they believe that that he has something left to give, and that he's worth a try, worth a shot.
They like Shaq Barrett.
They like Shaq, and he's a likable guy.
He's a likable guy.
Also, I think it's, you know, a little bit of embracing the past. He did it once. He could do it again. You know,
you don't like that, though, Lee. You don't, you like, what are you doing for me now?
Sort of, yeah. But, you know, I look at Shaq's age. By the way, I'd love to have Myles Garrett here, but I'm also realistic. But I saw a graphic that a stat geek did last night using, like, 4 years of data.
Okay.
And this is where Light comes in, and this is where Shaq comes in, too. The curve on production really drops for edge rushers when they're pushing 30. Well, what's Shaq, 32? It really plummets right around the 30 age. JPP was like that. He turned 31, he was brittle, and he was done.
Maybe Von Miller was like that.
It could be. But it was very eye-opening, this graphic.
So
was.
4 years worth of data. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
It gave me pause.
Light's riding high right now, Steve. He's riding high with Buck fans. They don't like Bowles, and they like Light. And, Steve, you know what that tells you? That they don't think Bowles is getting the most out of the roster. That's the inescapable conclusion.
I agree with that.
Bowles isn't getting the best out of this roster.
They think
whether
Bowles,
you agree or not, that's the way the fans think.
Exactly. And it's going to escalate. Okay, and I think we need to look at this and try to predict and understand why. This year, Jason Light has money to work with in free agency. He's going to sign players, and the fans are going to be really excited.
Now, they're not overflowing with money, Steve. Not overflowing.
No, but they can actually get outside free agents. We didn't have outside free agents of significance last year or the year before. You know, yes, brought in Russell Gage, Tom Brady liked him. They wanted to have that third receiver. Okay, Julio Jones washed up coming in at the end like that.
And theoretically, Steve, when you do that, it really hampers you going into a draft, right, Lee? Because now you got to address it in the draft, and it boxes you in a little bit.
Yeah.
In terms of taking the best player available. Now you're thinking more about positions because you didn't fill them in free agency.
Right, but I'm saying they have more money for outside guys. There's no big re-signing at $1 other than Levante David. And that's up to Levante David, and the fans know that.
Well, you got the Godwin question.
You're not going to lose him to another team.
You got the Godwin,
question. It's a unique situation.
Let me stop you right now. Let me stop you right now.
I stopped.
Does the fact that the Buck offense was still very effective in the final 11 games, which counts the playoff game, the Buck offense didn't miss much of a beat with Godwin on the sidelines? And does that play in any way into your decision about bringing Godwin back? Hey, we were pretty damn good without him.
Yes and no. I see what you're getting at, and I think that's a fair question. But when they didn't have Godwin and Evans, this offense was neutered.
All right.
And if the Bucs had, I mean, I know this is if and buts. If the Bucs had Godwin against the Chiefs are against the 49ers. Could they have won? Yeah, you can make
or against the Commanders or in the playoffs.
Yeah. You can make an argument.
Also, you're banking without Godwin, you're kind of banking on Evans to stay healthy, and he's at that age where, you know, things might be breaking down a little bit. Answer that question for me, Steve. You played 11 games without Godwin, and the offense was still damn good.
I don't think it's going to matter to the Bucs because they love Godwin. He's a Jason Light cornerstone kind of guy.
A draft pick.
They trust him, and he's not a player you can replace. Right? There aren't. You can't just go, let's get this guy's a Godwin clone. There are very few.
He does the dirty work,
Chris,
right?
Chris Godwin clones. And frankly, he was an all-pro last year until he got hurt. It's messy, Ira. I don't think it would matter to them because they want him. But I think being more objective from the outside, you could argue, yeah, you know what? Without Godwin, here's how we would supplement it. Here's what we would do otherwise.
All right, so finish,
you know,
your point. Finish your point about Light having money in free agency.
Well, I think the fans are going to like what they see from him in free agency.
More aggression?
No, because it's outside guys. Oh, man, we got all our great guys coming back. And we got, this year, we got new bodies, you know, and they'll be excited about the draft because they always are. That's every NFL team is excited about.
So it could
be
an inside linebacker in free agency. Very
well. It could be anybody. My point is that I don't think Light can lose this offseason. Now,
what if he makes poor decisions in free agency?
No one's going to know that until later on.
Right.
And who will they blame for that?
Bowles.
Yeah. Todd Bowles. You drafted this guy.
So that's the dynamic that's set up right now.
You brought back Godwin. You drafted this beastly tight end in the second round that fell out of the first. And you drafted an inside linebacker. Light gave you everything you needed. And Bowles, you picked the wrong offensive coordinator. You didn't get the most out of this inside linebacker.
You're not using that corner correctly.
He hasn't figured out the offense yet, the defense yet, because it takes too long to learn. No matter what Light does, in my opinion, 90% chance they're going to blame Bowles.
Is it fair to say, Steve, Bowles is pretty much in a no-win situation?
Yeah.
Unless he wins.
Exactly. But I think it's even worse this year for Bowles.
That's an interesting setup, Steve. That seems to be the dynamic. You can't ask for two more disparate polls on Joe Bucks fan than Todd Bowles and Jason Light.
Should I run an Ira Kaufman poll? Should I? You want me to?
How would you phrase it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
was Ira Kaufman a good addition to Joe Bucks fan?
No, that's a terrible question.
Ago? You could. I'm not afraid, Steve.
All right. Maybe
afraid.
I will. Uh-oh,
it might be a loaded one now.
And then comes Lee DeKemper.
It has to be crafted just right.
It has to be crafted.
Oh, with me, then just sell out, would you?
How fair is the anti-Bowles sentiment, Lee, from a guy who just won
unfair.
10 games?
Unfair.
Let's put a number on it. So if 10 is totally unfair and 0 is just.
8. I say 8.
7. 7.
I say 8 because they won't even give him credit. I mean, he's improved every year.
And you want to say 3. You want to say 3.
No, I'm going to say 6.4.
I don't like his game decisions, you know, in the heat of the moment. It's got to be better.
That's fair.
It's got to be better.
I mean, the guy gets better every year. Well, season win totals. Does that mean he should get a lifetime contract? No. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see your team?
I don't like the soft coverages. Now, if Bowles was sitting here with us right now, which he might be in a couple of weeks, he might say, Ira, I thought that would give us the best chance to win. That could be his answer. I think that gave us the best chance to win. It didn't work out like that. And I'm going to throw the stat at you. And I bet you Steve checked it on my column the other day. Not only did they have 7 interceptions, putrid, yeah. Horrible. They allowed the most completions in football. Steve checked it out. He goes, yeah, Ira's right. The most completions.
Soft.
Now they did face the second most pass attempts because that's the word out on the Bucks.
Yeah.
Throw.
Yeah.
Now their rush defense wasn't great, Steve. I don't care how many yards they gave up. Nobody tried to run on them.
It was very good.
And the 4.3 yards, it's kind of middle of the pack. It's not great, but teams looked at the Buck defense and said, "We're throwing."
Here's one reason I said 8. And this is a factor why I had the number so high.
That's a little higher than I thought you were going
to
say, Lee.
Well, I think this is part of it. Maybe this is unfair to Bowles, or unfair to the fans. It drives me bananas that one of the biggest complaints fans have with Bowles, I want to see fire in my coach. That doesn't mean spit to me at all.
Said the same thing about Father Dungy. They did.
Yeah, well, again, I always say Dungy was a good coach. I think it's abhorrent that he's in the Hall of Fame, but he was a good coach.
What about Tom Landry, my friend?
Going Tom Landry. Look, Ira.
But you know, the point is valid. Fans just don't like stoic figures.
Okay.
And some of the greatest coaches that ever walked the sideline were cigar store Indians. They had no personality. They want Chucky. They like Chucky. He's a cartoon character.
They want Arians.
Again, the Tasmanian devil on the sidelines.
I understand. Is there a little truth to what Lee's saying?
Look, I gave a 6.4 because Bulls underachieved last year.
That's a strong statement.
I think most of the fans would say that they watched the season, they watched the playoff game, and they would say Todd Bowles underachieved.
I don't even know I can say that.
Given everything that happened last year, you would say the Bucks should have beat the Commanders? The Bucks had a better team than the Commanders? Would you say that?
I think they should have won that game, sure.
They should have won the game, but I don't know if I can go underachieving. You have a brand-new coordinator, all those injuries.
The same Commanders team that went into Detroit and mopped the floor with the Lions? Mopped the floor with them?
I'm not talking about before the season, a prediction. I'm talking about going through, watching all the games, watching them all, including the playoffs, and seeing those 18 games and deciding, did the Bucks overachieve, do what they should have done, or underachieve? And I think they underachieved a little bit.
You think that's a 12?
Not enough to hate the coach, like a lot of people do, but I think they underachieved.
You think that's a 12 or 13 win roster, Steve, last year?
They had a chance.
I'm just going by the games, Ira.
They're not going to win all the close games, Lee. Not all of them.
No, but if you win three quarters of them, you're doing well.
Okay. Sage 24/7, Florida's Elite Restoration is there for everybody in Tampa, the greater Tampa Bay area, across the state to Orlando and beyond. They've got the trucks, they've got the team, and their ownership team with Josh Martin at the helm. They've got 25-plus years of experience in the insurance industry.
I don't think you can stress that enough.
No, Steve. You can't. You can't.
That's what makes them unique. It's a big, big factor.
Makes them extremely special when they've worked there, you know, dealing with claims. They know that the insurance company's job is to give you as little money as possible.
Deny.
It's like the Bucks defense. Soft, soft, soft. And they know the corruption in the industry, and now they're fighting for you when you've got a flood, fire, mold, storm damage. Ira is the water damage whisperer.
They know how the insurance companies work, Steve. That's a huge advantage.
And that's who you need. And you also need a company with top technology. So when you call them 24/7, they come out with that technology to give you a free evaluation. And if you mention Ira Kaufman, the sage himself.
Or Joe Bucks fan,
you'll get $500 back if you sign up because you need their services. And that's money you could use for your deductible. FloridasElitereStoration.com. FloridasElitereStoration.com. They do everything now, Ira. So they'll actually, you know, if you have that disaster in your bathroom and you need to replace the tub and beyond, they'll do it. So they're a one-stop shop.
I'm not deviating from subjects here, but I'm going back to what we opened your podcast with. Those next-gen stats about tackling. The Bucks finished overall for the regular season 17th as far as least amount of missed tackles.
I thought they would have done worse than that.
Well, apparently,
I did not think they were a good tackling team, Lee.
The first half of the season, they were not. By any measure, they were not. Except for Clancy, of course. And he didn't play that much in the first half. However, according to Next Gen Stats, and this is all in an article that I wrote this morning, from the bye week to the end of the regular season, the Bucks were third best.
So they worked on it. They worked on it.
And where does that come from?
Now,
coaching.
Steve, here's where I'll agree with you, and I hate to do it. On the underachieving part, you can't lose twice to the Falcons, especially the way they look. It's inexcusable. You can't lose twice to Kirk Cousins.
I understand, Sage. I don't like these next.
Am I right on that, Lee?
The next gen. Someone would have to really explain to me these next gen stats because a missed tackle. Okay, maybe I missed one tackle, but maybe I should have made three more because if I'm totally out of position and I'm not playing aggressively,
then you don't get
that's
penalized.
Not a missed tackle.
Yeah,
it's not a missed tackle if I'm not aggressive and don't even
you don't show
be
up
where
on
I'm
the
supposed
stat sheet.
To be. Yeah, or the guy's already by me. So
their definition on this software was: if you're in a position to make a tackle, however they define position, if you're in position to make a tackle and you don't, that's a missed tackle.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Is we don't know the missing pieces. It's a lot like Bucky Irving, right? So Bucky Irving, the stats come out. Oh, most broken tackles or whatever. Well, what about all the guys he made miss? That's not a broken tackle if the guy never even touched
him. Who's the nut who had Irving as the 14th best running back or something last year?
Jones-Drew?
Saying that so many people were better than Bucky Irving. What's the guy talking about?
Well, I don't know who you're talking about, but I do know.
It might have been Maurice Drew.
Maurice Jones-Drew had him at 11th, and some of the rationale for why was kind of weird.
But he had weird people ahead of Bucky Irving. Right?
Yes.
Steve, he had some weirdos. And I'm not talking about Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley or maybe even James Cook. He had some, kind of average running backs ahead of Bucky Irving. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up. But we have to remind everybody, FloridasEliteRestoration.com, as you heard before, they're your first phone call whenever you have a disaster at your home. Fire, water, damage, flood. You call them first. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. And our friends at Bill Curry Ford, President's Day weekend, all the specials are out there for you at BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget the Ira Kaufman discount. You ask for Sean Sullivan when you're there. That's going to make every employee say, whoa, Sean Sullivan, and you'll get your Ira Kaufman discount.
May I pose a question? May I?
It's your podcast.
All right. I brought this up in my column, and I need you guys to react to it.
Lee,
is it feasible, or is it a crazy stretch by me, by the Sage? Is it feasible that the following discussion takes place? Jason Light to the Glazers. Miles Garrett is available. They want two number ones and Tyke Smith. Jason Light to the Glazers. I don't think that's in the best interest of our team to do that. The Glazers to Jason Light. Pull the trigger, Jason. Miles Garrett puts this team over the top. Could that discussion happen? Sure. Could it?
I'm not saying how likely it is, but yeah, it could.
Who wins the discussion? Who wins the day?
My dad used to have a great quote about that. You ever hear of the golden rules? Those who have the gold rules,
Nicely. They
got the gold.
Could that discussion happen?
Of course it could. I don't know how likely it is, but if Jason Light has any balls, he says, sorry, not doing it. And I'm not giving you the cell phone of the Browns GM.
Isn't that a little naive, Steve?
Why? You don't think Jason Light can get a job if
Jason
he gets fired?
Jason Light's replaceable.
You think he's going to get
replaceable?
Think he's going to get fired because he wouldn't trade for Miles Garrett?
Don't you have to do what your boss suggests you do?
No. If this scenario is real, that you're hypothetically
two
proposing.
Two number ones and Tyke Smith.
Sage, if hypothetically you're proposing a scenario, so that means in this hypothetical, it's probably happened, this conversation has probably happened six times before over the last 11 years. You think Jason Light says, yes, sir, no, sir, every time it's been brought up? No, I'm sure there's been times where he's said, no, we're not doing that. I don't care, blank owner, we're not doing it.
You think if there's a difference of opinion, Lee, that the Glazers would yield and say, you're the point guy, Jason, we're going to leave it up to you?
I think the Glazers have, in so many words, have admitted that. They've always said, you know, we trust Jason.
Maybe you're right, Steve. Maybe you're right.
You know, they hire the Glazers. I think they even say this. They hire people that, and they got that from their father, Malcolm Glazer, that they hire people who are supposedly in the know about what they're doing and let them do their jobs. I think that's what this is.
Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't make the deal. I haven't thought about that. I'm just talking about from the Light perspective. If he doesn't want to do it, he'd be insane to do it. If he thinks it's a bad deal, just because the Glazers say make it happen. It's not a quarterback. It's an edge rusher, and it's
the
a different situation.
I think
Light's built up enough chips with the Glazers, as he should have.
Street cred,
that this ain't Bruce Allen we're talking about. you know. And Bruce Allen, you know, would screw up pick after pick, and it was a disaster. And the Buck trajectory was going down. And now the Buck trajectory is not going down, in large part to Light's acumen, in the draft. So, Steve, I think you make a solid point that I don't think the Glazers would push it to the point where Light felt his job was on the line or something.
Yeah. Okay.
But they could have a difference of opinion, Steve.
Sure.
They could have a difference of opinion.
They often do, I bet.
You would think they have to. And plus, how many? There's, what, five Glazers involved in the team on some level? How could they all agree all the time?
Now,
you can't tell me Ed Glazer's not drooling about Miles Garrett. You can't tell me that. Get it done.
I wanted to mention this earlier when you talk about Jason Light in the draft. And you just mentioned draft again, so I have to insert
the word acumen. That's a good one, Lee. It's a good one. Acumen.
Am I crazy? Is there something to this that right around the time Light hired Spytek that his drafts improved?
Seems more than a coincidence.
No, I'm not
and
saying
now
we'll
it's see all. If Spytek can do the same for the Raiders.
Yeah, it will be interesting because how fans – like, I think the average fan –
doesn't even know Spytek.
Doesn't necessarily have much respect for the assistant GM and what they do or don't do. And frankly, we could be told what they do or don't do, but we don't really know how that ties to decision-making and, you know, who's the engine behind certain things. And I think a simpleton could even say, you know what, Mike Greenberg, and I may be in this category. Look, the Bucks have been watching how Greenberg operates for how many years?
15
years. Well, maybe they think, you know what, yeah, he was innovative, he's done this. We could duplicate all that.
Yeah.
You know, he's already laid the template here. If he walks, we can have somebody else do it.
If who walks?
Greenberg.
Oh. Yeah.
I think there's a term for that. Proprietary information? Isn't that the business term?
That's a good
it
one.
It makes sense, but it's an interesting off-season stage. I wanted to talk about Jason Light, not because it was from his birthday, because I didn't know, but you told me, so it seems
I don't think he can do much wrong for a lot of Buck fans right now. He's at his peak. Unless, his popularity's at his peak.
Unless they went like 4-13 or something.
Barring injuries, the Mayfield. Yeah.
The split between Bowles and Light,
it's
man.
Stark. It's
Bowles
stark.
He's in trouble if they don't come. If they follow their pattern next year of starting slow, another 4-6, 4-7. Oh, my
now,
goodness.
Now, wait a minute. Starting slow the first month, they usually start fast.
Well, I meant
the rut in midseason.
The midseason rut, yeah.
The 10-game record. If it's the same kind of thing, man, Todd Bowles.
So?
Oh.
But the Glazers are not going to fire Bowles in midseason. They've never done it. They're not
going to
do
it. Why would you fire a guy in midseason when every year he wins out of seven to close the season?
That's right.
So,
Light's riding high, Steve. Light's riding high.
He's soaring high, and we are. You're soaring high, too.
Blow out those candles, Jason. Blow out those candles.
Ira, final thought for Bucks fans. What are you eating this weekend?
I had a beautiful dinner, romantic dinner for tonight. I had to cancel it last night.
No Uber Eats?
I had to cancel because I can't take my wife to a $125 dinner, and she's over there nibbling on a little celery and an anchovy. I can't do it, Steve. So we're going to postpone it, but she's doing better.
All right, Sage. We're out. We'll see you next week.